The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance tonight. Even as I'm sitting here watching Joe Obama, Biden, this wicked, wicked man, folks. So, again, as Joe Obama, Biden is on tonight in America, it's an evil, wicked night in America right now. I've been listening to his speech. Not much truth in it at all. But anyhow, for that reason, Joe, we got to say here tonight our producer tonight is none other than Style. Say hi, Style.
How are you, Pastor?
Hi, and then we have here in the studio, little studio Marm, little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. And way out yonder in Missouri, we have Pastor Joe. Are you there, Joe?
Hey, yep, there we are. I'm sorry. There was a little pause there. Child of his kingdom, forever I am. Glad to be with you.
Alrighty, yeah, I've been sitting here watching Joe Biden. We'll be discussing this later on. It's unbelievable, but he's not going to get away with it. You know, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Anyhow, I was hoping to see McCarthy. He's better than that. He wouldn't do like Pelosi did. But it would have been nice if he were to stand up with his speech and pretend like he was going to tear it up, you know? he would have got a standing ovation, I think. Probably even from Joe Obama.
We can't act like the enemy. We cannot do that.
No, we can't reduce ourselves to that. And she really showed what she was all about when she did that, huh? So
yeah, she did. The contempt. Yeah, you don't do that.
Anyhow,
you can afterward go out and say his whole speech was a bunch of lies, but you have to, and then give a reason for saying that. You're allowed to do that, but you don't do, you know, at the time, you don't interrupt or be contemptuous.
Absolutely. So we'll discuss Joe Obama's speech later. But let's go right now into the Word of God. First of all, I'm going to read my commentary again. And then we'll pick it up in Luke.
Well, better give the title again.
The title was A Counterfeit World and the Counterfeit Word. A Counterfeit World and a Counterfeit Word. And so let me give the commentary one more time. From the moment of our birth, we're thrown into an ocean of false circumstances. Those of us that are biblically literate know all too well the dangers of being unprepared to navigate the waters of truth versus the crooked path of woke and PC, which I just listened to. Even as the preschool children are subjected to indoctrination into the abominable world of LGBTQ and pedophilia, Joe, often by means of esoteric messages that unsuspecting parents are oblivious to. This is often accomplished by cartoons and children's stories and Lion King. And here, of course, today, we talked about that Lion King was a very good example of that in that movie where you've got this warthog and this other creature portrayed as homosexuals. And, of course, today you've got drag queens being pushed upon the children all over the country. They're pushing drag queens. This is insidious and it's filthy. I mean, it is filthy, as filthy as filthy can get. And of course, Joe Obama Biden had a drag queen right there at the White House. Had a drag queen come into the White House there, huh? And then of course we saw what took place here yesterday. Was it yesterday where you had the Grammy? And
yeah.
That was about as filthy gets, was it not?
When you have a program that looks like it's worshiping Satan, worshiping evil, where the main character is dressed in red with horns like the devil, and you have people in cages and other people in devil fetish gear, I'd say it was about as low life as you can get.
Well, the water, those little streams of water were supposed to be those people urinating on each other. This was what that was, okay, according to Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
And, that is really being a Democrat. That's a today's Democrat. That's the kind of thing that today's Democrats do.
Well, that's why Joe's wife was there, dressed to the hilt, and celebrating, smiling, just happy to be there and all the filth.
Yeah. Well, the government-run so-called education system has been taken over by globalistic communists. These people believe that the state and not the parents should decide the future of our children. Since 1962, when a corrupt court expelled God from our public education system and replaced him with cultural Marxism, America has gone from number one in the world scholastically to 40, I think it's 46 now. Again, counterfeit education. It is not education, it's indoctrination, folks. The so-called mainstream media is nothing more than a confederacy of six major corporations that are in lockstep with a globalist elite. There are no longer journalists that report the news, but talking heads that spin the lies and the echo chamber and then call it a narrative. Fair and balanced, they are not, Brett Baird. The AMA, the FDA, the CDC are no longer in any respect considered to be legitimate government agencies. They are now simply the whores of the property of Big Pharma and the DOD, the Department of Defense. The FBI, the CIA, and the NSA are no longer legitimate intelligence agencies, but are simply branches of the globalist communist collective. They have all been weaponized against the patriotic true Americans. Today, most professing Christians are not possessing of salvation Christians at all. Most churches are really 501c3 corporations. Most pastors are really hirelings. And today, there are over 200 counterfeit versions of the Bible. But you know, Joe, in all of that, God is on the throne. God is in complete control. Everything's exactly the way he said it would be. You know, we've come up to this point through God's word, the Bible, and everything has been exactly the way he said it would be. And it will end exactly the way he says it will be. And we know how it's going to end, don't we?
We certainly do. But we will miss a lot of the worst part of it, because we're going to be up in heaven raptured with the Lord, and a lot of that we'll miss.
All righty, let's go to Luke chapter 2, and we've been taking a look as we've gone through here. We took a look how the New Age versions in 1 Timothy 3, how they perverted the deity of Christ. We looked at Philippians 2:6, how, again, they perverted the deity of Christ. And today, we're going to take a look at Luke 2, 33, how the New Age versions pervert the virgin birth. So go ahead, Joe, and read verse 33, Luke 2, verse 33.
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
Now, here it says Joseph and his mother, okay? It doesn't say mother, father and mother, does it?
No.
Okay. Now, there's a good reason for that, right?
There's a different, you know, there's a distinct for a reason, yes.
Well, there's a number of the New Age versions, the NIV and the others, many, they say that father, his father and his mother, his father and his mother. So what do? They, first of all, they take away the virgin birth. Instead of having God as the father of the Lord Jesus, they have Joseph, right?
Right.
And so that takes Joseph from being
Joseph, yeah.
That takes Christ from being the only begotten son of God, of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. It just makes him the son of Joseph, huh?
Right.
And so, now read verse 49 and 50.
Oh, okay. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them.
But Jesus, even at the age of 12, was starting to understand his identity and purpose, wasn't he?
He certainly was. I think he knew all along, but...
So, when he was referring to his Father's business, he wasn't referring to Joseph's business, was he?
No, not the carpenter work. No, he wasn't there at the temple doing carpentry work. He was preaching, you know, from the Old Testament.
All right, let's go over to Joe Bama is still talking. I was hoping it would be over with. I got the volume off, but I'm watching him because the Huckleberry is going to give the rebuttal to that, his daughter. Huckleberry Sanders, Sarah?
Yep.
Huckleberry Sanders.
Sarah Sanders.
Yeah, let's go over to Colossians chapter 1 and read me in Colossians chapter 1. Actually, read verses 13 and 14.
Okay. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Okay, so what do we have redemption through?
His blood.
Okay, now the liberal theologians today say that, Joe, that there was no redemption through his blood. They're saying that it was his death and not his blood where we had redemption. And so here, that's an interesting...
doesn't agree with Scripture.
Okay. Well, here, the blood of Christ shed on the cross in substitution for us who deserved to die was the redemption price necessary to secure our freedom and forgiveness. That's according to what we just read here and what 1 Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And so here... the NIV reads, here's how the NIV reads. In whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So let's look at this again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even a forgiveness of sins. But the NIV reads, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Okay. So here now, let's go over to... let's go over to
Hebrews
9, right, in Hebrews 9, and read verse 22 in Hebrews 9.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding the blood is no remission.
Okay, so here, I mean, is that fairly clear?
Crystal clear, especially when you go back to the Old Testament. Everything was sacrifice was the shedding of blood, whether it was a lamb, a bullock, a partridge, a turtle dove. Everything was they were showing there had to be a penalty paid, and it was always the loss of a life and the shedding of that animal's blood for the temporary forgiveness of sin. The entire, you know, children of Israel, that was what they had to do. And to top that off, once a year the high priest would have to sacrifice a bullock, and the shedding of the blood of a bull would purify the high priest enough to sacrifice a goat for the entire nation of Israel. Gave you a perspective, just to cleanse the high priest, took an animal of, you know, 1,800 pounds to, you know, sacrifice a goat that may be 80, 120 pounds for the whole nation of Israel, gave you an understanding of how important the shedding of blood was, the sacrifice.
Now, today, Joe, you have a growing number, well, of course, the liberal theologians and a growing number of neo-evangelicals argue that references to, again, the shedding of blood are merely metaphorical, that essential point being that a sacrificial death has occurred. Thus, they say it was Christ's death for our sins that was the redemption price for our salvation, not his blood, which, after all, was just, they said his blood was just a fluid. It was just a fluid, liquid.
No, because the Old Testament said the life is in, God said life is in the blood. You shouldn't drink or eat blood because all life is in the blood.
So they're teaching there was no different being shed than before. The fact is, however, that there are many ways in which a man or a sacrificial animal may die. But, Joe, mere death is not enough. The life of the flesh is, like you said, in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. So no other type of death could purchase our salvation. Therefore, we have redemption through his blood. He made peace through the blood. First in Colossians 1:20, in fact, he made peace through the blood. He washed us from our sins in his blood. Revelation 1:5, and we are now justified through faith in his blood. Romans 3:25. Wasn't any stuttering there, was there?
None whatsoever. And back to the Old Testament, the priest had to what? Sprinkle the blood on the altar. It was a part of the ritual, the sprinkling of the blood on the altar for the sins. It was the blood, not just the killing, but it was the sprinkling of blood, even over the mercy seat.
So all the New Age versions remove the blood. Let's go to John. Now, this is a very familiar verse, John 3:16.
Yeah, I think we've heard that before.
Yep.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay, so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let me ask you, did you have a father, Joe?
I sure did.
Did he have a father?
Yes, he did.
So then your father's father begat your father, and your father begat you. Is that not true?
Exactly.
Okay, so now here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So now that means that was a son born not of man, but of God.
But of God.
Okay.
And the term begotten in the Hebrew, I believe, means coming forth from. So we have the physical son coming forth from the spiritual father.
So let me ask you this. Could that possibly apply to anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Okay.
No, couldn't possibly, no matter how you twist it, turn it, couldn't do it.
All right, so here's how the NIV and the NLT both read. Ready?
Ready.
They both read, and the one and only Son, the one and only Son. Now, I asked them.
His one and only,
Yeah.
They left
and
out
so,
begotten, didn't they?
Pardon?
They left out begotten.
Yeah, well, let's see. Joe, are you a son of God?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're not Christ, are you? See, I'm a son of God, and you're a son of God, and I asked the men in the church if they were sons of God. Go to John chapter 1, read me verse 12.
Verse 12. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, so there that word power actually means the right. The right or the authority. That's the word
the
that we use
yeah.
translated. It means the right or the authority. And now here, when he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, that means the right or authority, to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, is that, does that word sons, is that gender neutral, or does that mean, can that apply to men and women?
That means children, sons and daughters.
Sons and daughters, so.
Mankind, yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. Some of the women can make it to heaven too, huh?
Yeah, let's not go there.
All right,
but
so.
It is quite clear when he says the sons of God, we become, he's our spiritual father, we become, the scripture said, we become adopted. We are adopted into the family of God by our spiritual baptism when we become those born-again believers. And an adopted child has actually more rights than a legally born child in the Jewish law.
Okay. And so here...
In other words, we can't be in the, is the Jewish law. If you had an adopted son, your own son could be disinherited, but you could not disinherit a adopted son. So when we become adopted sons and daughters of God, we cannot lose our inheritance. We cannot lose our salvation. We are eternally children, the sons and daughters of God.
Amen. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets, and when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992, when they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. when they stormed the church in Waco. Women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Whoa, now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, whoa, now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Alrighty, we are back. And Joe, let me ask you, is there plenty of evidence out there that heaven's under siege? Do we have a whole lot of corruption reigning in government today?
Yeah, well, the news was just out today. Church membership in the United States is now under 50% for the first time in our nation's history.
Well, yeah, we have...
The falling away of the church then, of course, leads to what? The attack on everything else, right?
Well, how many did the Lord say? The Lord Jesus said many would what? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many would come, but few would enter. Right, and
it'd be only the remnant, and out of that 50 that profess, you and I imagine it's less than 10% that are really born again believers.
Is God totally just and fair?
Always.
Is He giving everybody and everyone a chance to avoid that lake of fire and go to glory?
Everyone.
And yet, the simple-minded will not choose that, will he?
No, the simple-minded will choose to follow their own lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and their own intelligence, their own thinking.
I wanted to make an announcement here. This coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, for our Bible and current events, we're going to have Geauga County Tea Party Vice President Jim McNeil will make a presentation on the true science of climate change. He will explain the science of climate change and identify the seriously flawed so-called science behind the government and media cabal narrative that anthropogenic man had made. Carbon dioxide emissions from the burning of fossil fuels is warming the planet. You know, Jim will explain how Earth, Venus, Mars, and the moon further out planets all experience global warming, which is interesting given that the man only inhabits the Earth. So I wonder who it is that's causing the global warming on these other planets. Jim's a chemist that has spent 50 years in gases, chemistry including continuous emissions, monitoring which include working with the U.S. EPA on developing alternative analytical methods. Jim has served as Director of Hazardous Materials, Emergency Response North America for the world's largest industrial, medical, and specialty gases company, and was team coordinator for the Geauga County Hazmat Team. Jim's the inventor of 15 U.S. patents and is currently a principal at Pangea Gases, LLC, specializing in Collaboration gas is used to ensure the accuracy of gas detector instrumentations. And he's a good friend of mine, and I'm his pastor. So come on out to Doers of the Word Baptist Church this Sunday at 3:30. And I'll tell you, he's going to get very technical with you, but he really tears up all of these phony climate change Al Gore wackos. So that's Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road this coming Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. All righty. There you go. I couldn't take any more of Joe Biden. President Trump gave a very quick rebuttal, and it was a good one. He said more in about 5 minutes. He said more than all the time that Biden was speaking out there today. And Joe, let me just ask you a couple of things. Let's go over this very quickly. He says that we've picked up a lot more jobs. What's the problem with that? I mean, we understand something about those jobs, don't we?
Oh, we sure do. We look back and we realize that most of these jobs were not created. These were jobs that were lost during the pandemic. And I would say it'd be more accurate if he just said that it was job recovery, not job growth. We're recovering jobs lost. People are going back to work. But even then, he's talking about these fabulous jobs, and he forgets something, that many of the full-time jobs were permanently lost. And we've added 1.5 to 2 million part-time jobs. Why? Many people during this administration cannot live on their income because of the high inflation, energy prices, food prices, and so they're working two or three jobs. So 2 million of those people that he's claiming that the jobs were created are people working two and three jobs, and they're part-time, not full-time, you know, sustaining jobs. So basically, he just takes and twists and turns the facts. He lies by omission is what he does.
Well, now, don't worry about it, because he's going to fix this, because he says we're going to have 500,000 new charging stations. Now, I go by every now and then. I go by these charging stations, and they have about six of these chargers out there.
Right.
And, Joe, I have yet to see a car being charged. I go by them all the time, and they're always empty. So now we're going to have 500,000 of them, these charging stations.
Well, he also didn't explain that right now it costs more to run a car on electricity because of the high electricity rates than it does to drive them with gasoline.
Yeah, but guess what? When you go on vacation, you get to extend your vacation because you've got to spend the night charging, see? So in other words, you can maybe double the amount of days you have on vacation by, you know, charging your car all night.
Yeah, it could be a very interesting thing. If you look at all the things that he brags about, it's mostly lying by, he's talking about these jobs. Manufacturing is rebounding. He said it's rebounding faster rate than over the past 40 years. No, it's basically nothing he did. These jobs were shut down, and the supply chain was bogged, and now they're going back to work. The supply chain has gotten unbuckled a little bit. Supplies are there for people, and manufacturing is starting back up. And it's nothing he did. And this is what bothers me, is almost everything he does. He's talking about how inflation is down for 6 months. Yeah, the Fed has been increasing the rates, interest rates, trying to slow this economy, trying to slow inflation down, get rid of it, but it's by causing economic pain. But what he didn't talk about, let's look at what he didn't talk about. Murder is up in our major cities, Democrat-controlled cities across the country. Homelessness is at an all-time high. We have the highest rates of overdose, alcohol, since he's talking about life expectancy is the lowest that we've had in 25 plus years. Why? Suicides are up 5 to 10%. It's kind of hard to count them. Deaths by overdose are up 50%. Deaths by alcohol up 30%. We have the pot shops. Cannabis sales went up from like $10 billion to $30 billion. We have people, you and I reported that the psychiatrists and psychologists are booked full. This one guy said he opened a practice, and by the end of his first week, he had every one of these hours that he was going to give therapy full. We have a nation of depressed people who are drinking alcohol, popping pills. They're depressed, they're scared, they're angry. He didn't mention anything about those things. Our borders are wide open. People are pouring in. The schools, the SAT scores are down. In fact, I found this interesting. In Baltimore, they found 23 schools in the Baltimore School District. Not one student in any of their schools was proficient in mathematics.
So what? So what? That's equity. Don't you know anything?
Oh, it's equity. They're all totally stupid in math. They cannot do math.
That's the military. That's the whole point. They're all equally stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that was their goal. Now, you know, when Biden said that the Republicans wanted to cut Social Security and Medicare, the Republicans jumped up and they started booing him, and so he started walking it back. And I didn't say all Republicans. There's some Republicans, and they were booing him. So maybe a few, at least that's what somebody said. He kept trying to walk it back, and. Yeah, they stood up and they booed him. Now that was, and McCarthy was right behind him. McCarthy, I thought, might club him, but he didn't. But anyhow,
I thought something else that's real important, folks. If you go to one of your local stores like Walmart, I know you're not big on Walmart, but you will find many retirees working there. Many of your checkers and everybody are people who were retired. Why? They can't live on their retirement. They've been forced back into the labor market. I don't call that creating new jobs when retirees can't live and have to go back to work when they're...
Okay, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to try to tell us that the price of food is up and the price of living is sky high everywhere you go. And the next thing you're going to tell us, like what we've seen out here with our eyes, we shouldn't believe. We should believe the media. I've seen where we're at, and there's a very high-income county where I live, but I've seen a number of restaurants close. They couldn't afford to stay in business, okay, because of the price of food. So they're closing down.
And look at the food banks. They're screaming for help because the demand for food in the food banks across the nation, people are coming in that have never been taking food from a food bank before.
Well, Joe Obama was speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, and this wasn't supposed to be on the news, but Tucker Carlson did play it. And Joe Obama is saying to the World Economic, when are we going to cut the food supply? When are we going to cut? We have to cut the food supply. Now, let me ask you this. There's something in the air because about a dozen now major food producers in this country and some in Canada, it's an amazing thing, Joe. The coincidence how they're all burning to the ground. These huge things are burning to the ground, Joe. And it's not like, you know, it's spit on fire, then the fire department could come and put it out. You know, they do that. A lot of times they put the fire right out, and the buildings aren't completely destroyed. But in all of these cases, these fires are the kind of fires that make sure that you can't put them out, that the buildings are and all the food supply is burned to the ground. You think that's coincidental?
And I don't believe in coincidences. I live out in rural America where there's a lot of chicken farms, turkey farms. If you travel through rural America, and you ask around people that have these, and you go, have you ever heard of one burning to the ground? And they'll look at you with the doe in the headlight like, what do you mean burn to the ground? There's nothing there to burn. And if you have a little fire in the sawdust or something, you kick it out, rake it out, spray it out with some water that you have handy, and it just doesn't pass the smell test.
Well, you know, Joe says he really cares for the low-income people, for the average American, because that's where he came from, people like himself. And so now Joe, he said, with over 1,000 billionaires in the United States now, he's instructing the IRS to go after those billionaires, and they're going to pay at least 15%. Now, let me ask you a question, Joe. These billionaires, is it easier for them, instead of paying that 15%, to hire on a team of former tax attorneys and go in there, and they come out not only not paying anything, but end up getting some taxpayers' money put back into their corporations? Is that the way it normally works? I mean,
the way it's been working for as long as I've been alive.
So the IRS really wouldn't go after people that really can't afford to fight them, right? That just say, okay,
that's
I can't.
Go after, yeah. Most all of the IRS audits are on people making less than $60,000. In fact, now the IRS has a new thing where they're going after, they're trying to formulate some new laws to crack down on restaurant workers' tips. Mm-hmm. This just came out February 7th. Oh, that's today. Yeah, I mean, this is like the IRS proposing a program for service industry employers to report the workers' tips to the IRS to improve tip reporting compliance.
There you go.
Service industry tip compliant agreement program, yes.
There you go. With the price, you know, the restaurants are just barely making it now, many of them, because of the price of food. And so many of those employees, that's where they got to live. They got to make it off their tips, so they're not going to make it at all, huh?
Right, and in a bad economy, you ask any waitress about tips, they're not the best in a poor economy. People try, but it's not exactly. If you really had a lot of skills, you wouldn't be working. Waitress work is hard work. Working in a kitchen, in a hot kitchen, or doing dishes, that kind of work is hard. It's hot. You're on your feet. And if you had talents, you could make a lot more money and doing something a lot easier. So they go after the poor and the weak. This is what the government has always done, and the people somehow don't seem to get that message.
But here's the good news, Joe. He said that COVID deaths are down by 90%. The COVID deaths are down by 90%. He said that over a million Americans lost their life through COVID, Joe, but how many more died from the vax than died from the COVID?
Oh, a lot of, I don't know the figures, but I know an awfully lot of people died from the vax, not from COVID. And they're going to, even after COVID stops being a problem, the effects of the vaccine are going to be killing people 3, 5, 10 years from now.
Yeah, but we won't call it that. We'll call it the delayed COVID, because that's what they're doing. They don't, those that are dying from the vax, they're not saying they're dying. They're saying they're dying from COVID. You can't do it because, look, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money to be made pushing those vaccines, even though it's killing people. I mean, Cleveland Clinic here in Cleveland, even, you know, when they come out a couple months back and said that people are 4 times more likely to get the COVID if they take the vax, 4 times more likely. And, of course, if they're more times, 4 times more likely to get the COVID, they're 4 times more likely to die from it. But that doesn't stop the Cleveland Clinic. They're still promoting them, to pushing to take the vax. Isn't that something?
It's an upside-down world, you know. But we know the truth, and that's what we're here to be, watchmen on the wall, to warn the people out there, to tell them the truth. And here's a perfect example of why people need to listen to our radio program. This is from World News Daily, WND.com. Stunner: professional journalists decide news has no place for objectivity. Media leaders are feverishly sign at the tree branch upon which they sit. And the legacy media is talking about how they are, according to constitutional expert Jonathan Turley, are cutting their own throats, shooting themselves in the feet, calling for their own termination. It's because they're abandoning the idea of neutrality or objective reporting. And they're saying there's no need for anyone to be an objective reporter anymore. Polls out there show that, you know, people are trusting the media about like they trust used car salesmen. In fact, maybe even less than used car salesmen. And writers out there are saying things like objectivity has got to go. It's so liberating. You can dispense with necessities of neutrality and balance, and you can go with your own opinion. This is what's happening out there to the world. And we see the Washington Post executive editor and a former CBS News president released the results of their interviews with 75 media leaders and concluded that objectivity is now considered reactionary and harmful. There you go, folks. The top 75 media leaders in America concluded objectivity is now reactionary and harmful to the American people. And the San Francisco Chronicle chief said, objectivity has got to go.
Well, Joe, you don't understand. You just don't. Because, you know, for all of these years, these poor talking heads, that they used to call them journalists back in the day, Joe. But anyhow, they were being put under such pressure. And it comes from that Bible, that Bible, the Word of God, to tell the truth. It was like people expected them to tell the truth, like they had no freedom. They needed space. They wanted to be able to just say whatever they wanted to say. But no, people like you, Joe,
like Paul Harvey,
people like you, people like me, demanded that they tell the truth. And they've been held in bondage and held captive by that truth. And here now, and even that, the Bible says, be assured, the truth will find you out, and your sins are going to give you away, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. And so
you remember Paul Harvey? When I grew up, businesses would take their coffee break, lunch break, would actually stop work and listen to Paul Harvey. He was revered. He was trusted because he was what? A God-fearing man, and he was honest, told the truth. And he was so popular, and I think that people like that in those days made standards that people didn't want to live by. It's easier, like Joe Biden, to make up stories and make up lies than to work and dig and search and find the truth.
We actually have a couple of his clips that we used to play from Paul Harvey. Good day.
They were fabulous.
Yes, and yeah, they were. But you know, Joe, in the lamestream media, they have a saying: if we all say the same thing at the same time, the people will believe us.
Will believe it.
Yes, over and over. That's what they. I actually heard one of them saying that one time. If we all say, and that's where we did those skits where we'd have people. One would say it, and then there were two would say it, and the three would say it. But that's right. You have what you call the echo chamber, and you can literally sit there and turn the station, the channel, and whether it's NBC, ABC, CBS, you know, NPR, PMS, NBC, all of them, they'll parrot. They'll say the same things, and they'll look right into that camera, like, "Look at me. I'm legitimate, aren't I?" Without any legitimacy, without telling any truth. And
the one that hits me the most was when they came up with the word gravitas.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, every news commentator in the land.
Well, every time they learned a new word, I think we just lost Joe. Joe, are you still there, or did we drop you? Okay, we just lost Joe. Joe did something that is not allowed. I knew it. The deep state has been listening to us again tonight, folks. And so they have...
I'm back. I guess they didn't like the word gravitas. I got cut off right at the word.
Well, every time they learn a new word out there, they repeat it over and over and over and over. How many times the narrative you hear, that's the narrative, that's the narrative, yeah. That's the narrative, right?
Right.
And see, that word narrative, if you take a look at the way they use it, it's the same word that we use for lie.
It is to tell a lie, right. The official line used to be called.
Yep. And so it's an amazing thing. And speaking about that, we have, we have something that Jim Jordan puts Hunter Biden's defenders on notice. Remember all of those people, and we're going to name them here. Those federal agents that lied, they all told the same lie, and they knew they were lying. And guess what? All of America knows they were lying, and we're going to make sure that we're going to get the names of some of those liars out. And Jim Jordan says he's going to get them in, and they're going to have to lie under oath because that's what they do. They lie. We're coming up to a break. When we go to this break, we're going to play a clip, Joe, and here in this clip, we have someone who is very well known. Dr. Richard, help me out here. I had it all set up here, and we've had him, Dr. David Martin, not Richard, yeah.
David Martin.
Well, you know, Richard's close to David sometimes.
It was close.
Yeah. All right. Dr. David Martin. He's very, very nationally known, well known. And he's going to fill us in some of what we really already know about Fauci and about Gates and those. These people are big-time criminals. I mean, they're major, major, major criminals. And Jim Jordan and, in fact, there's a group of 500 international lawyers that have decided that these guys need to go to jail for what they're doing. How much time do we have? Okay. I couldn't hear you. Okay. So anyhow, we're going to take a good look at that when we come back from the break. So, and then we're going to take a look at some other things too, Joe. Here, the same person who slipped up and that Obama and let it out that Obama was spying on Trump is the same person who oversaw the Department of Defense unit that sent $23 million to Hunter Biden's company, MetaBiota. What do you think of that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think that's something people need to know.
All right. So we're going to be talking about that when we come back. Because you probably wouldn't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, huh?
I don't think he'll, yeah.
Oh, Merrick Garland said he's going to investigate Obama Biden. Boy, we've got confidence, don't we? Hang tight.
Oh, yes.
We're coming to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.